On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the eighth day in the octave of Christmas, and what that means is that for the last week, we've celebrated every day, including today, as if it were Easter Sunday. And we close the octave of Christmas every year with the celebration of the Divine Mercy. This has been for some years, is made by Pope John Paul II, the Feast of Divine Mercy, which is something that comes to us from the devotion that St. Maria Faustina had revealed to her by Jesus Christ, in which he wanted the world to know through her about how much he wanted to give his mercy to the world. Because of John Paul II's connection to this feast, I can't help but always think about John Paul II when this feast comes up. Right? Not only did he sort of help facilitate this revelation to St. Maria Faustina becoming well known and also promulgating today as the Feast of Divine Mercy, he also, and this is a Holy Spirit thing, right? He died on the vigil of the Divine Mercy. He was beatified on Divine Mercy Sunday, and he was canonized on Divine Mercy Sunday. So my mind and my heart kind of always goes to St. John Paul the Great on this feast day, and we'll get to him in a moment. And what I really want to focus on is the words from his inaugural homily, his first homily as Pope, in which he famously said, and these are the words that kind of set the tone for his pontificate, he famously said, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." Now, those words are especially, I think, fitting because on this Feast of Divine Mercy, we look at the gospel and we find Jesus coming to his disciples in the upper room. And these are really the first recorded words we have of Jesus speaking to the 12, or the 11 rather, Thomas isn't there, who are gathered. And they're gathered in fear. Right? They're specifically, this is they're locked up in the upper room for fear of the Jews. And what's the first thing that Jesus says to them as he appears in their midst is he says, "Peace be with you." He wants to dispel that fear. In fact, this is a common thing that Jesus says when he appears to people. It's also a common thing or something like it that angels say whenever they appear to somebody, "Don't be afraid, relax, you know, peace be with you." But then the next thing that he says, and I think this is incredibly instructive for all of us as Christians, especially for Catholics who have access to all the means of salvation. The very next thing he says to his disciples, after trying to dispel their fear, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Right? So he gives his spirit to them, also thus imparting his power to them. He says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained. So here, brothers and sisters, the first time after the resurrection, after Jesus has made all things new, after he's conquered sin on the cross and death by coming out of the grave, the first time he appears to his disciples, he tells them, be not afraid, and gives them the power to forgive sins. A power which, of course, they hand on to the other men that they ordained bishops, and also the priests that they ordained to, those bishops ordained to help them in their ministry. But this power comes from Jesus in the upper room where he appears to the disciples and gives them peace and says, now I give you the power to forgive sins. So when we want to be clear about something, brothers and sisters, on this Feast of Divine Mercy, Divine Mercy Sunday, when the Lord invites us to, in a sense, envelop ourselves in the infinite ocean of his mercy, that the ordinary means for us to obtain his mercy is through the sacraments. And we only get to get baptized once, so if you've already been baptized, the ordinary means to attain the mercy of Jesus Christ is through the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, that is a sacrament that makes, I think for very natural reasons, makes people uncomfortable. And I wonder when, you know, a couple times a year, I think I should preach about confession, right? It's pretty important. I ask myself, do I need to preach about confession, though? And I think the answer is yes, because I have found, and it's because of the discomfort of the sacrament, even amongst really believing, practicing, faithful Catholics, sometimes the practice of confession, of reconciliation, is lamentably rare. You know, some of us either don't go, or don't go very often, or don't go as often as we should. And part of the reason why, I think a big part of the reason why, is fear. The discomfort, the embarrassment that comes along with the sacrament. And so I want to sort of sit in Jesus' words today of peace be with you, dispelling the fear of the Jews. I also want to sit in the words of John Paul II, who I think has, through his choices and through the Holy Spirit, been really attached to this Feast of Divine Mercy, who proclaims to us, be not afraid. And I want to address some forms I think that fear that keeps us away from confession take. So on the very basic level, the very entry level of fear, is simply embarrassment. Right? That would be the normal way that we experience the fear of reconciliation. Right? It's not that we don't believe in confession. It's not even that we don't want to go and have our sins forgiven. It's just, for some of us, scary. And it's embarrassing. We have to go and we have to tell this priest the worst things that we've done. The kind of funny form it takes is in my high school, where I have to deal with this year after year, and there's something kind of like adorably arrogant about it, but they'll say, Father, we don't want to go to confession because then you're going to think less of us. I say, well, you know, we have a grill, like we have a confessional, I don't see you. Say, but you're going to recognize our voices. I say, oh. So out of the 500 some odd students that go here, you're convinced that when you come in and go to confession, I'm going to recognize your voice, and I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to remember and treat you and look at you differently. So that's what we're talking about? Okay. So that's sort of the extremely adorable version that fear takes. In counter to that, I would say to you practically, and I hope that this is received correctly and not received scandalously, I'll tell you that you should not really be very embarrassed about coming to confession to a priest for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't want to be cliche, but we have literally heard it all, and we've heard it all a number of times, right? There really isn't anything that you can tell me that I haven't heard and heard multiple times, and most of the things that you're going to tell me, I hear every day, right? There are only 10 kinds of sin, right? Sin is not very creative. Holiness is creative, right? There's infinite variety in how holiness is played out by grace, right? When we allow grace to take over our lives, God is an artist, and he's going to do amazing things with us, and that's really interesting, and that's really unique. Sin is not unique. Sometimes we think it's what makes us special, but it's actually what reduces us to kind of like the gray mass. There really only are 10 kinds of sin, and we've heard it all. It's not outstanding. It's not interesting to us. We probably are not going to remember what you said 10 seconds after you walk out of the confessional. That's just a fact. The other thing that I'll tell you is, let's say that your worst fears are correct, and we are scandalized, and we do, after you leave the confessional, think, oh my gosh, I can't believe what she just said. So what, right? So it's the seal of the confessional protects the dignity and the sacrosanct nature of what was said in there. So in your worst case fear scenario, the priest who cannot see you, because we have confessionals with screens here, the priest who cannot see you and does not know who you are and very unlikely recognizes your voice can in no way act on or repeat anything that he heard in there. So your worst case scenario is that Father remembers something you did and thinks to himself, you know, that's like the worst, like, when you weigh that against, and by the way, I'm telling you this does not happen, but even if it did happen, even if your worst fears are, weigh that against receiving his mercy. Weigh that against the beauty of having your sins taken away, having a new outpouring of grace, having this sin of yours be transformed into a new encounter with his healing and loving and reconciling mercy. And even if, God forbid, you go to one of those few remaining curmudgeonly old priests who is mean to you in the confessional, once again I say, so what? And he will answer to Jesus for being sort of unmerciful in the confessional. But as long as you come out forgiven of your sins, so what? Be not afraid. Now, to get into maybe deeper fear than just embarrassment, a fear that I sometimes encounter, not in the confessional, because I encounter some people that don't want to come to confession, but there's a fear that I'm not worthy of receiving God's mercy. I'm not worthy to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. I'm not ready to go to confession. And you'll encounter this often when somebody has committed a sin of which they're especially ashamed recently, so that the wound, the shame of it is still recent, or if it's a sin they commit habitually. And then I'll hear something like this: I want to wait to go to confession until I can get some distance between myself and the sin and prove that I'm really sorry. The problem is, brothers and sisters, that this is, it, while it may feel spiritually noble, it's actually just a form of pride. What we're essentially saying is, I am going to earn my forgiveness. I'm going to get to a point where I prove that I really am sorry. I really have left the sin behind. I basically don't need help anyway. And once I finally got there, I'll come and say, okay, yes, you can absolve me of my sins. But that's not how the sacraments work. That's not how grace works, right? The whole point of the sacraments and the grace that God gives us is that left to our own, we're kind of lost. If we had to go it alone and get rid of our sins or grow in holiness all by ourselves without the help of grace, without the help of the sacraments, we're probably not going to get there. And that's especially true with habitual sin. If you have a sin that you can't seem to shake, and every time you go to confession, you're confessing the same thing over and over again, and you're tired of saying it, that sin especially, you need the grace of the sacraments to help you overcome, because one of the graces of the sacrament of reconciliation is strengthening our ability to resist temptation and to sort of fight that sin in the future. So if you have a temptation to say, you know what, I don't feel like I'm sorry enough yet for my sin, I haven't put enough distance between myself and my sin, I don't know that I can go before the Lord and really say that I'm sorry, be not afraid. The Lord knows all this, and he wants to help you. And if he has to help you frequently, if he has to help you every week, he will and he wants to. Be not afraid. Despair, that's a spiritually deep fear. Despair is that feeling that I've done something so bad that I can't possibly be forgiven. I've offended so deeply that I can't expect the Lord to take my sins away. Another form this fear takes, it says, even if I go to confession, I don't really feel like I'll ever quite be right with God again. It's a little bit like, you remember the parable of the prodigal son? You remember how the prodigal son is rehearsing his speech when he comes home? He just wants to be allowed to be like a servant in his father's house, right? He doesn't think he can come back as a son. And so he starts rehearsing the speech, right? I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But as we know, the Father is not having any of that. There's only one way that the Father is going to bring us back into his house, and that's as beloved, forgiven, healed sons and daughters that he honors, that he cherishes. Right? There is no sin too big for the Lord's mercy. There are no sins too numerous for the Lord's mercy. And if you believe that you've done something that you cannot be forgiven for, and not just forgiven, but cannot be wholly and completely restored to his love, that's a lie from the devil, and I renounce it right now. There's nothing, if we are repentant, if we are sorrowful, if we want the Lord's forgiveness and reconciliation, there's absolutely nothing that can keep us away from him and keep us from immersing us and our sins in his ocean of mercy. So do not be afraid. Now, here we get into, and I'm almost done, we get into the things that are a little bit more difficult to deal with. Repentance has two parts, right? I don't know how many of you know your act of contrition by heart, but it essentially has two parts, right? I am sorry for my sins, and I resolve to amend my life, right? So I'm sorry, and I'm going to change. I'm at least going to try. I intend to try not to sin again. Now, one of the things that keeps us from the sacrament of reconciliation is we do not want to make the changes necessary in our lives to really constitute repentance. So maybe there's a sin that we don't want to acknowledge as a sin. Maybe there's something we don't want to admit that we're doing wrong. There's something that we simply don't want to let go of. There's something in our lives that we simply cannot change. And I'm not going to, for the sake of time, I'm not going to get into examples, but there are things that, there are situations we get ourselves very deep into that would cause a lot of pain for us to rectify. There are sins that can cause us a lot of pain to have to let go. And those can be occasions for us to be afraid of reconciling with the Lord. It's this fear that I have to give up something that I really want and that is really precious to me, and it's going to be really painful for me to let go of. And here, once again, I say, do not be afraid. And actually, I began by citing John Paul II. I want to cite Pope Benedict XVI, the successor to John Paul II, who in his first homily quoted John Paul II's first homily, right? He recalled, Pope Benedict's first homily as Pope, he recalls these words, these famous words of John Paul II, do not be afraid. And what Pope Benedict tells us is John Paul II wanted us to open wide the doors to Christ. And specifically, Pope Benedict says, don't be afraid that in following Christ and opening your life to him and handing yourself over to him, that the Lord is going to take away from you anything that makes your life beautiful or great. And Pope Benedict says, the Lord takes nothing, nothing, nothing of what is good and beautiful and makes life great. And instead, he gives you everything. So even if it's something that's scary, even if it's something that's painful, even something you have to let go of that you don't want to, on today, the Feast of Divine Mercy, and I'm especially speaking to you if it's been a long time since you've been to confession, I'm especially speaking to you if you kind of only go once a year, I'm especially speaking to you if you live in habitual grave sin and only go once a year, return more deeply and with a renewed devotion to the sacrament of the Lord's mercy, and do not be afraid to open wide the doors to the mercy and love of Jesus Christ.